And you're listening to Now We're Talking. I'm your host, Jeff Bryant. This is CITR 101.9 FM. In the studio with me is Keith Kennedy. Right now, we're airing it out, folks. We're airing out the studio. How you doing, Keith?
Good, man. How are you doing? We had some smell in here when we got in.
You know what? And that's not a criticism of these young men that were hosting the show before. It's volume.
There's four of them in here.
And the door was closed, which is a correct procedure.
Yep.
for sound concerns. There is no fan in here, once again, for sound concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a criticism of them. I'm not.
Individually, I'm sure they smell wonderful.
Yeah.
No. Oh, dude, that's a dude thing.
I'm not admonishing them. I don't mean to embarrass them. But holy shit, when we came in here, it was like a thick, pungent wall.
Yeah, I know if you're a female out there, you may not have ever faced this. I hope you haven't. But yeah, dudes, when they get together in a room, they can do some damage. That was the first thought I had.
It's good because, as I say, for me, when we came in the room, I didn't think. My instinct was to judge them, and I thought, no, this is for all those times for me as a young man when I was in a room with a bunch of dudes and had no awareness.
Had no idea, yeah.
Now this is a comeuppance.
Yeah. Yeah, we're old, so we know.
We're old.
We probably smell like this, too. We just don't want to admit it.
I'm feeling curmudgeonly this week.
Mm.
We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not a food.
Oh.
Is that what you think?
Yeah, yum.
Yum.
Mm.
It could be a food. Maybe it's a type of pie.
Curmudgeon pie?
Curmudgeon pie.
Mm.
What would be in it?
Isn't that a Green Day record?
It should be.
Is Green Day the right reference there? Should I have gotten
Green
more
Day
edgy?
Should, you know what? Green Day should be a band.
Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe it was a Bad Religion record. Is that a better reference for curmudgeon pie?
They should be a band too.
Okay.
Are they? Maybe
yes.
They were for a while, but not any longer.
Those are all bands.
A lot of bands I've noticed, I use Wikipedia a lot, and I notice a lot of bands broke up and then a few years ago, and then it used to be the case when a band broke up, they broke up.
Mm-hmm.
It was over. It was a finality to that. There wasn't really such a thing as a reunion tour or anything like that, but it used to be the case if you looked up when did a band start and finish, it was pretty straightforward. Now, if you look up a band, I don't know if Bad Religion is one of them, but you'll see that they were together for 20 years, then not,
mm-hmm.
then together for like a year, then not, then together for three, and you realize they probably just got back to play casinos or something.
Yeah. This is funny that you bring that up, because I've thought about that a lot. The fact that when we're growing up, we had all these things that we thought were permanent, especially in terms of rock and roll. Like, this is the way it works. Like, the Rolling Stones having the longevity they had is so notable.
Yeah, they never.
But when you think about it, there's no other era that had bands that were popular. Like, basically, we grew up in this, you know, from, like, say, the 50s forward. This is just the way it is. So the idea that now that bands are coming back and touring again after having broken up 20 years ago, we're like, what are they doing? This is so weird. It's like, well, not really. There's not enough precedent to dictate what the rock and roll industry should be or how long bands should work. The idea that you become a mechanic for 20 years and then come back and do it again when your music becomes relevant again, that actually makes a lot of sense.
I think what you're starting to see, too, is shows. A couple examples that come to mind would be Curb Your Enthusiasm and Louis C.K.'s show.
Yeah, it's happening in TV, too.
Is that when they kind of realize, what do I have to gain by announcing the show is finished if I want to keep the door open to doing an additional season?
Mm-hmm.
So they just never end. So like Curb Your Enthusiasm technically has been a show for 15 years,
mm-hmm.
but there haven't been 15 seasons.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happening.
Yeah, the Netflix thing's going to change all that too.
Yeah, how so?
Yeah, well, just because you're not going to just canceling a TV show. And that's been shown in the last couple of years.
Oh, right.
Canceling TV shows doesn't even mean it's canceled.
That is the casino tour.
Yeah,
it's getting on Netflix.
Yeah, you can just be picked up by another network. You can be picked up by Netflix. If people like your show enough, then someone else will play it. Like, that's what the CW is, isn't it? It's just like a bunch of shows nobody else wants.
Well, and actually, it's funny because the irony is that oftentimes if you are a band, those first 20 years is when you weren't making any money. Hence the casino tour or the Netflix
that's a good
run
point.
Is then you're more empowered to earn
those contracts
points.
Yeah, in the golden age of rock and roll, those contracts were terrible for the bands, and they got worse. Like, bands that were signed when we were young got totally screwed out of their money. All those boy bands is a good example of that too. A lot of them didn't get a lot of good contracts. I just watched Straight Outta Compton, the movie, and that was part of the plot of that movie was the sort of bad deal that those guys got into.
Yeah.
And so now, like you said, if you're 50, you got some experience in the biz, and you have a fan base, you probably know a little better how to get that money to your bank account.
We should go on a casino tour.
Okay.
If we could, we would, right? We were musing the other day, or maybe it was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
that it would be fun to take this show on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for you and I to, now that the listenership is growing,
mm-hmm.
we're getting more and more physical fan mail. It's interesting. Yeah. You know, I mentioned last week you can send us physical mail here at the studio, at the station. And we're getting lots of physical mail. I think mm-hmm. that speaks to our demographic. But it would be interesting if we were able to take the show on the road, even if it was just a live performance of the show for small crowds at coffee shops. You and I could hit the road, stink it up.
Yeah, just like a band used to do. Get no money from it.
No money.
Feel like you're living your dream.
Sleep on people's floors.
Yeah.
And say we did.
Mm-hmm. Well, this came from, I saw that Harmontown movie with Dan Harmon, the creator of Community, among other things.
Mm.
And he's going on tours and playing D&D in front of the audience, which is hilarious for people who like that. If you have experience with the role-playing games and you got some funny dudes doing it in front of you, so it's his podcast and he does it live. And that's why I thought, man, that'd be fun. Take a radio show, a podcast out live. And
do you think that's if you and I were going to go on a modest tour of some tertiary markets,
mm-hmm,
at some coffee shops.
Love the word tertiary.
And we were going to be on stage.
Yep.
I don't even know if people would pay admission. They might not. Maybe they're just compelled to purchase a
We're not
going to
let them in if they don't.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure whether we'd even be at the level where there would be a cover charge or whether they just have to buy like a one coffee minimum or mm-hmm. something. But regardless, if there was a transaction, so there was a financial investment, what is the best we've got for performing? Would it be doing this show? Would it be something else?
Well, we're dazzlingly handsome, which helps, right? We're both 6 feet taller or taller.
Minimum 6 feet.
People love that, right?
So we should stand.
I have fancy T-shirts that I can wear.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You have nice shoes.
No.
No?
I
like your shoes.
I'm wearing flip-flops.
Yeah, man.
So I have nice feet.
Oh, I didn't want to get too...
I'll have nice feet. You'll have nice shirts.
Romantic on the radio.
But what are we doing?
I like your feet.
Are we just doing this?
We have
this?
Nice contours.
Is this what we're doing?
Yeah.
So no song and
but
dance.
But what I'm saying is that without doing anything differently, we have physical attributes that will convince people who are walking by to open their wallets. They'll just be like, look at those beards. Let's get in
Should
there.
Should we tell them that I'm bold and you're kind of fattish?
Yeah, I think they'll see
I'm
that.
I'm actually kind of, I shouldn't say that you're, I should say I'm bald and we're kind of fattish. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I'm a strapping young lad.
I'm actually looking at you right now and I'm realizing that... You know, I think you're looking. I feel like we pretty much met in the middle in terms of our body types.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Maybe that's what the show could be. It's called Meeting in the Middle.
Meeting in the Middle, and we just stand with our bellies together, and that will draw people in. I think it's a.
Folks, if you want tickets to the tour, you're going to have to be very patient.
I don't know. We can
because
dance.
They're not yet available.
I think we're underselling ourselves. I think I'm at least a 2.5 threat. What's that? Double and a half? Not a tertiary threat.
He's a 2.5 threat in tertiary markets, folks.
Yes.
Folks, if you're just tuning in, CITR 101.9 FM, we have aired out Studio A.
Almost.
And, you know, it's actually hard for us to know whether it's aired out. You kind of have to leave the room, come back, and you need to have that perspective.
If you'll just wait for 5 minutes, listeners.
Yeah, then we might know. But anyway, Keith, let's see what happened this week in the news.
Jeff and Keith present this week's news. Now, topical.
So what did happen this week in the news?
The Olympics.
Oh, yeah, the Olympics started. Okay, so what, did you catch the opening whatever?
I didn't. Though...
This is curmudgeonly Jeff, who's like, I know words. I'll use them if I want to.
I was asked today on my blog, Ask Keith Anything, about this, and as I do on blog, I just lied. Here in the radio, I'm very honest, though, if anyone was worried about that. But on blog, the character is a guy who knows it all, so I kind of go that route. And I was asked about the opening ceremonies in particular. And what I did notice was that there were a lot of those carnival sort of girls, dressed girls. That was like a very potent... Sorry, I only watched a little bit of it,
mm-hmm.
the opening ceremonies. And I just noticed a lot of samba dancing, scantily clad women. And also how little... sexuality was being portrayed on screen, so I figured that they were trying very, very hard to stay in front of those dancing women all the time, because otherwise it would have been like
the camera operators.
Yeah, the camera operators, the angles. They were trying to keep as much Brazilian ass away from the screens as possible, because it very quickly becomes the focal point.
Brazilian ass.
When you see, yeah, very...
This year's theme is Brazilian ass.
Very beautiful women shaking it.
And that should be the, too, that should guess, be the theme at every Olympics.
Yeah.
Brazilian ass.
Yeah. Well, it would be more exciting than what's going on opening ceremonies, usually, which is nothing. I don't even know what that art form is. What is your job? Like, what kind of job is it to be the person who designs the Olympics? Do artists do that? Or is it like event planners? What's the deal?
Well, Danny Boyle directed the 2012 Summer Olympics, didn't he?
Wow. It's actually directors. Now I feel bad.
I think it is. I think growing an influence.
I feel bad about that. It was probably like Ang Lee or someone I really like did this one. Anyway, I didn't actually watch it. So any of my judgment is totally stupid.
Hey, you know that theme music I played for Topical News?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't know if you're aware, but there actually were two versions. That was the short version. I'm going to go ahead and give you the long version here.
Now you're going to get it. This week's news delivered straight down your trousers. Now we're topical. Do you enjoy keeping abreast of current events? Well, if you don't know who the dullard at the dinner table is, it's probably you. Dullard? Well, come on, dullard, we don't have all day. Would you like to hear some topical news? But don't answer too quickly, you might lose your shirt. Now we're topical.
So that was the long version, and I just felt like because we had that option available, we should share it.
It suits our mood better.
Yeah. Recorded the long version, and I thought that seemed a little bit... It's pleasing to me.
Yeah.
But maybe not relevant.
Well, we
to
also
the show.
Went through that process where we were sort of like evolving the humor. And it gets to a point where you're not sure anymore if you think it's funny or it is funny.
We were trying to find old timey words and we stumbled onto to dullard.
Dullard.
And we
milked it for all it was
it
worth.
To its full potential. Trying to get the right vibe here in the studio. We've aired it out.
Yep.
I've asked Keith to turn the light on. Usually we keep them off. There's no dimmer. I wish there was a dimmer.
Yeah.
In fact, I brought a lamp. A couple weeks ago, because I wanted to get the right
ambiance.
The right ambiance. I think it's a question of how much light is coming in from outside as well. And Keith, I've asked you to turn on this light, but I'm finding it's just too bright.
Too much.
It's too much.
It's also funny how we just looked behind the curtain a little bit, and when you played that second thing, you told the people, hey, let's check this out. But really, it was you and me trying to get the lights right.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Could you turn that light off again,
okay.
Keith?
Are we going to play a thing? Or now that the veil is lifted, I'll just go and do it? So the veil will be completely lifted. I'll continue to talk as I move away from the microphone.
There you go.
Okay, I'm going to try this.
That's actually not bad.
Okay.
That's good.
Is that okay?
Yeah, we're onto something there.
I'm relatively indifferent.
Oh, that was both on. Okay, this actually isn't too bad.
Okay.
Folks, what can I tell you? I'm in a curmudgeonly mood this week. My name's Jeff Bryant. You're listening to Now We're Talking. This is CITR 101.9 FM. Before we started the show, Keith and I were talking about depression. We were talking about life. What else were we talking about?
Movies.
Movies. Yeah, we talked about that, too.
Talking about writing, because I can't not talk about writing whenever I open my
flipping
mouth.
You got a new bed. We talked about
that. Oh, yeah, got a new bed. Thanks, Mom.
Why do we talk about all that stuff before the show?
Yeah,
because now it's like we have to rehash it.
And do you remember right before we came on, I said something hilarious, and we were like, oh, we just wasted that. We should just not talk to each other at all before the show.
Yeah, keep it fresh.
Save it all.
Keep it fresh.
Yeah, I said something great. Just trust me, listeners. I said something great before.
He did. I was there.
One time.
I can attest to it.
Yay.
I should have recorded it.
Yeah.
We could play it back.
It wouldn't have the same magic.
It's 6:15 if you don't have a timepiece. Mm-hmm. You know, some people listen to the radio, Keith, sometimes because they don't have a timepiece.
Well, on my radio,
believe it or not,
I can only see the radio station or the time.
Some people are too lazy to change the clocks, too, or they don't know how to change the clocks on their radios.
Their VCRs.
So I'm telling you right now, it's 6:15.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that will change. I wonder if things like, these have actually rousted something in me. Like the idea that, you know, the symbol's not the right word. You know the gesture you make when you want to someone to call you and you do that thing with your thumb to your ear? I'm doing it right now.
Yes. Therefore, I do know it.
Yes. I'm now doing it to the microphone.
You got the thumb and the pinky.
Yeah. That's gone. In a generation, that's completely gone because no longer do you hold the thing like that that goes over that far in your ear. Now it'll be holding something in front of your mouth. Or something up to your ear that looks like a brick.
But sometimes we keep those things that no longer work.
Yeah, and it's hard to tell which ones
they're historical
keep.
Things.
Yeah, but that's one that could be gone. And that's what I was thinking about. being on the radio and telling people certain information, the weather, the time, the radio won't be necessary for that anymore because you'll know that people have all of those apps.
Still thinking about what you said about the calling thing because call me, people don't really call each other. They text each other.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're like, hey, get in touch with me, you don't say text. You don't like...
You don't touch your finger with your hand with your finger.
Why don't people do that?
I don't know, because it looks awesome.
It looks weird. Instead of call me, text
Maybe
me.
Maybe it's because instead of just telling them the text, you could just text them.
That's right.
It happens
in the
so
time
fast.
That you're acting it out.
Yeah. Instead of just pressing your
That would
your
be
palm,
funny if you actually texted a person, text me, while you're mouthing it and acting it out. And you're like, no, look at your phone.
And it says, text me.
And it says, no, I'm actually right now typing this right now.
I don't think I'd be good enough to say text me and also write other words at the same time.
Yeah, well, that's a young man's game.
Ah, it is.
Or a young woman's game.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's not do the binary thing. It
sure.
could be a young mm-hmm. human's thing.
Yes. Or a young,
just a young
very
fang.
Intelligent crow.
Fang.
Yeah. Fang?
Thank
Are
you.
Are we getting attitude? Is this the attitude era of this show?
Yeah.
Fang? I think we.
It's me trying to conjure up the... mentality of
youth.
Of the youth.
Oh, I get it now. You're trying to connect with them. You're trying the hipness.
Yeah.
The hip.
Are you young? Are you listening? By young, I mean, are you of age? Obviously, that's not some sort of weird loaded statement.
Mm-hmm.
Are you younger than we are and you're a millennial and you have comments to make about how we're doing? Give us a call at 604-822-2487. We'd love to hear you.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to talk to you live on the air. This
we're
is an
opening
open,
the phone lines
open
today.
Invitation to talk about... today's theme,
mm-hmm.
which is unclear at this point.
I think the theme this week is struggle. That's my theory.
That resonates.
Because we've had lots of people on the show in the past where we discussed artistic struggle. And we've been very positive about it, haven't we? We've had a lot of really positive people who've tried to do something creatively, and they found some success or no success, and they've altered their life paths in interesting ways, and they've spoken quite a bit about what they failed at, and it's great because you get that vulnerability, which is really attractive in people. And I think something we were talking about before we came on the air, and we thought it was really genuine to continue it on the air tonight because of how we were feeling, was that we all have our struggles, and artistic struggle is a great way to understand struggle. It is not by any means the only one nor the hardest, but it is a wonderful metaphor for the struggle that is life. And Jeff and I both are people who have lived with that struggle our whole adult life. What we want to do, who we want to be, how we want to accomplish it, through the arts mostly. What do you think? Is that a good theme?
Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was just, it's, as you were talking about, I was kind of allowing myself to indulge in the struggle.
Mm-hmm. Like, let it wash over you.
Yeah.
While my voice guides you.
Yeah.
Through that.
I was like, okay, keep explaining this. That works for me. And just kind of just sinking into the struggle.
I like that. I like being open about this sort of thing. We're doing a live radio show. This is a live show. And you can't always...
Wait a minute. What did you just say?
Oh, no. The secret's out.
We're doing a what?
But, you know, we're not, you know what, one thing we have, and I think we like this about ourselves, feel free out there to not like this about Keith and Jeff, but we're honest people, right? We're not the kind of people who are going to come on here and laugh. When you hear me laughing on the show, it's because I'm laughing. And so it just sometimes makes a lot of sense, man, to talk about some of those things. Everyone out there has those struggles and has those days where they don't want to have to smile at that stranger or go to their job that they don't love. And
are you struggling today? Are you listening to the show and struggling? Give us a call at 604-822-2487. We're not going to solve your problems for you, but we're here.
Yeah.
We're here.
Unless
we're
going to
talk to you.
So unless you want them solved comedically by Ask Keith Anything, then I will
solve
them.
We could try to work that in, for sure. But, give us a call so we can test out the phone lines, see how those work. We haven't done a live call on the show
No, that's
before.
A new thing this week, in case people weren't understanding what's going on. Just trying a new thing. And, it would be great if we could hear from you because we've often thought about having a third person in the studio to talk. And this is sort of our gateway into that as the show evolves and we learn what we like and what we don't want to do or what we do want to do. It's kind of a negative way to say it.
What we do want to do.
You want to do it now.
What we do want to do.
It's the first time we've done that, for example.
Anyway.
something that happens all the time in my real life.
Anything's possible. I feel like we should put something underneath our chat right now, some sort of sound effect, Keith. In the past, I know we've done rain. I know when we summarize the show, we do, of course, the campfire with crickets. We've also done traffic. Is there any other sound effect that you'd like to try just to place underneath our conversation?
I don't know. Do you have the sound of fog?
It's already playing.
Oh, that's what that was.
And I was wondering why we weren't hearing it, but fog doesn't make noise.
No, but it does make a smell.
It does. Well, that explains a lot. So what else? What do we want to put underneath?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Got a what about a cafeteria, like a schoolroom cafeteria? Is that a thing we can do?
Okay.
That'll take us back. Speaking of struggle.
Well, but we never had a cafeteria. It'll take us to a new place at the same time.
Well, yeah. What, in school, you mean?
Yeah, is that what you meant?
I used to hang out in the cafeteria all the time.
Oh, really? People did?
Yeah, that was like my...
But there was no food served, was there?
There was some. It wasn't like...
What was that all
about?
It was
like an American TV cafeteria where they have like all hot
dogs
all the time.
Why was it such a half-assed cafeteria? It almost felt like a TV... It felt like it was actually a TV set for an American
yeah,
sitcom.
Like a fake. That's true, actually. That cafeteria area did look like it was a place where you would teach people how to cook, not actually serve food.
Yeah, like did they actually have ovens? And
but they did, yeah. Food? There was... I never worked there, volunteered there or anything, but they had days where they had actual food. But like I said, it was nothing like what you'd see in America or on like a TV show where there's like 8 different options and you walk up and they slop, you know, like prison mashed potatoes.
Yeah, we never got the slop prison mashed potatoes.
No, but we had some stuff. There were some salads and things. And that was my little group in high school. We used to hang out in the cafeteria quite a bit, especially when we were younger. Shout out to all those people that I used to hang out in the cafeteria with in high school.
Like who?
I don't know. I'm making this up.
Shecky.
Oh, man.
Shecky.
Shecky used to always get the cottage cheese on top of his salad.
Shecky Magruder, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He was a charmer. I remember, man, could he drool. Just big, big long ones.
He sure did.
Yeah. But he got... I'm hearing a funny noise in my ears.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find...
Did I give you something really impossible to find for a sound effect?
I'm just trying to find... right now I'm trying to find like a crowd noise at a stadium or something. Let's see.
That's interesting.
How about your new bed, Keith? How's that working out for you?
It's good. It's good. I had my old bed for a very long time. And because I'm struggling as an artist in my way... I don't have a lot of money to do things like upgrade my bed on a regular basis. So I rely on the kindness of others, especially family, to give me their old stuff. And so luckily my mother has good taste in beds. And so she was like, "You want my bed?"
Nice.
I was like, "Yeah, I want your bed. Let's do this thing." That's Keith, way better.
Keith, I just put on a clip from YouTube called Crowd Noise, 1 hour white noise. And it says... Enjoy 1 hour of ambient crowd noise. Good for relaxation, white noise, ambient background noise, unbearable silence, or unbearable science.
Unbearable science.
Loneliness, tinnitus, and it's good for parties. Well, is that something people would do if you were hosting a party?
Just to make it sound like there's more people there.
More people having a better time? That's hilarious.
It's just you and like... your little brother, you both have red cups, you open the door, it's like, come on in,
would
man!
Would that fool anybody?
Just, of course not. It's just two people dancing, you know, maybe there's some Debbie Gibson on somewhere.
Okay, Keith, let's act this
join
out.
Join the party!
Let's see if we can play this out, okay?
Okay, what's the premise?
We're at a party.
We're at a party?
Yeah, we haven't seen each other in years.
Okay, let's do this. Okay. Jeff?
Keith!
Jeff Bryant?
Oh my God, I haven't seen you in years.
Oh man, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Yeah. You know, I don't think I've seen you since we were in that play together. You portrayed Charles the Wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
And I was Oliver was the name of the
right,
character. That was a Shakespearean play.
As You Like It.
As You Like It. And yeah. You, when you were cast as Charles the Wrestler, the director said, feel free to bulk up.
Yes,
well, check this out. Let me just open up my jacket. What do you see?
Oh!
It's a t-shirt that says, feel free to bulk up. And that's the
amazing.
Reason that I actually I got that shirt made. And you can see this is a brand new shirt. I've never worn it before. That's not because
it looks crisp.
What I do is every year I get a new crisp one. I've been
really?
Doing this ever since.
That is not at all disturbing. I thought maybe it was a coincidence that you wore that shirt today. Was it really that funny to you when I was cast as Charles the Wrestler.
It wasn't so much it was funny. I just think that people should feel free to bulk up.
Feel free to bulk up. Yeah, he told me that on the phone when he cast me in that part.
Yeah.
And it made me feel, how can I spin this in a positive way? Like I was going to be in it.
In the play.
Yeah. And I didn't really have any other options, and neither did he.
Did you?
So I was a 6 foot tall, 195 pound, relatively fit individual playing a fat guy.
Did anybody, had anybody ever told you to feel free to bulk up before, or was that a first?
No, it's funny. That was the first, but it hasn't been the last. In all the years that it's been since I've seen you, Jeff,
yeah.
It's funny that you were in that t-shirt because I've heard it a few times. I guess I just have that kind of aura. People just think I should be fatter.
Well, honestly, man, feel free to bulk up.
Oh, feel free. That's nice of you to say.
Yeah, have you tried some of the appetizers over here?
I can't eat a lot of those.
There's some protein. I brought some whey protein.
Oh, is there any lactose in it?
We could probably remove that.
Okay.
Take that out.
Is that
out.
A thing? We can, because I know
we can
some.
Try.
Yeah.
Can we get a sieve over here? A sieve?
I don't think there's all.
Nobody's paying
there
attention.
There isn't actually any people here. It's just a noise that they put on to make it seem like there's lots of people.
Who's they?
That's why it was so easy for me to see you across the room.
Oh, but who's they?
Someone let me in.
Oh.
But they were on their way out.
Okay.
So I don't know if there is a they anymore.
Well, it's good seeing you, man.
It is
and
really good
listen,
to see
feel
you.
Feel free to bulk up, honestly.
Yeah, also, I love your feet.
Thank you very much. That was fun. I kind of don't want the crowd sound to go away. Maybe I'll take it out. Folks, you're just tuning in to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Now We're Talking. I know what you're thinking. My God, they've gone off the rails.
They've lost their bloody minds.
They've gone off the rails. The show is usually much more focused than this. What's happened
At
to the show?
At least structured, yeah.
Structured. More structured. Mm-hmm. What has happened to the show? Nothing's happened to the show. I'm just feeling curmudgeonly this week. And we're, you know, we're trying some different things here. That was funny, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's fun to...
Feel free to bulk up.
That's a real thing, by the way.
That's a funny thing to say to somebody.
All jokes aside, that's a real thing that happened to me. I went, auditioned for the festival. You were the one who made me audition, first of all.
That's true.
You, like opened my blinds and forced light into my eyes, and you told me to come with you. And I tried to bail at the last second, and you forced me. And then I did a read of the thing I always read in auditions, which is the... a speech from Hamlet, because they say you're not supposed to audition with Hamlet. And so, of course, as a youth, I was like, to hell with that. I'll do the thing I'm not supposed to. And it's just good enough to get you the part as Charles the Wrestler.
The director's like watching you misguidedly do this soliloquy from Hamlet. I'm assuming as Hamlet, as the character Hamlet.
It's the, this too sullied flesh.
Okay, so part, probably the most cliche of like probably the most well-known monologue
it's
in the history.
It's one of them. Yeah.
Is there one that's more well-known than that?
That's To Be or Not to Be, I guess.
They're not the same one.
No, it's not quite the same.
Oh, so this is the second most.
At least I don't think.
At least he did the second most.
If it was the same one, I missed that beat.
The director's sitting there thinking, God, this young man. If only he would bulk up and do the To Be or Not to Be speech, he could be brilliant.
He's not good enough to be any other role. But he's tall-ish, and he looks like I could convince him to bulk up.
I could encourage him to bulk up. Maybe. Allow him to be Charles the Wrestler, and in the future, maybe he could play Hamlet.
I leave the room. He has a conversation with his peers. When do you think is the best time to introduce the idea that this guy needs to bulk up?
And somebody did this.
Yeah, someone did the phone gesture.
Oh, dear.
Yep. Keith, you've been cast. You're going to be Charles the Wrestler in the Shakespearean Festival, the Victoria Shakespeare Festival. Feel free to bulk up. Click.
I like the fact that he didn't insist that you bulk up.
No.
I feel like that's the difference between an American semi-professional production of As You Like It or Canadian. Is in the States, they'd be like, we just need you to bulk up. Can you do that?
You got
to
put on 10, 15 pounds.
This is what we need.
Yeah.
And you can't feel free to do it.
Yeah.
No pressure.
Just a really nefarious and subtle first hint.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember any of the other hints that may have come along, but I do remember feeling awfully thin throughout that whole production.
Maybe he said that to everybody. Yeah. It'd be funny if he just, like, that was a tradition for him when he offered roles.
Yeah,
to people.
Or he just needed, like, one per show. I need to adjust the weight of at least one person
he
in
says
every
it
one
to
of
like
my
the girl playing the female ingenue lead.
Yeah,
feel free
yeah.
to bulk up like 15, 20 pounds.
Yeah. Maybe it's something from his childhood. Maybe he was forced to eat his peas one too many times, and his dad said something on a regular basis, like, you're never going to be a big boy if you don't bulk up. And now he just takes it out.
You're never going to be a boy unless you wear this shirt, boy.
Yeah, this passive-aggressive way he takes it out. He calls me, he says it, he hangs up the phone, and then he cries holding a picture of his father.
I think that would be a great T-shirt, though. Feel free to bulk up.
It's funny. I don't know if it's how many people it would be funny to.
Yeah, just I'm pretty sure I would do a double take
it's
if I saw
abstract.
That.
I like it.
I'd be like, I wouldn't quite know what.
Yeah, like what? Yeah, you might not even think it's an inside joke.
Yeah,
you're like, I guess
feel
that's
free to bulk up.
Feel free. I mean, in a way, it's an anti-worrying about your flipping weight sentiment, which
yeah,
I kind of
so.
Like. Right? Everyone's
I
so afraid.
I like the ambiguity of it, and that you could defend it to be any given.
Yeah,
thing.
Enjoy your life. That's a you know you can
enjoy your life.
Way. Enjoy your life.
Feel free to bulk
feel
up.
Free to bulk up. What's a big deal? Have a hamburger, right?
Feel free to bulk
up. You
want to
fill out that swimsuit, don't you? You know, nobody wants to be rail thin. Apologies to all the rail thin people out there. But
folks, give us a call even just to prove that you're listening. 604-822-2487. I don't need to, if you're shy, I don't need to take the call. I just need to see that the line's ringing. When you call, I will see that the line is ringing. I will assume that's related to me making this request at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I will feel good about it.
Mm.
Light up the boards, folks. 604-822-2487. That's also 604-UBCCITR.
Nice. It's also a great way for us at the end of the show, if nobody calls, to make it look like we're much more popular by claiming that we'd lit the board up. We just didn't answer anything. Lots of people called.
Totally.
Yeah. Not really in our style to be dishonest.
Totally.
I guess.
Folks, vote with your thumbs. You know, vote with your thumbs. If you're actually, let's switch it around. Let's try some reverse psychology. If you don't like the show,
mm-hmm.
if you don't want the show to continue after today,
mm-hmm.
give us a call.
Wow, it lit up really quickly.
Jeez, all of the lines.
Wow. Oh, that's not true, folks. That's just another charade.
Charade.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you sang that. It makes me think of Pink Floyd. My favorite band. There. That's personal, right?
This is low energy, Jeff.
You're fine.
Just slow. Everything's slower.
Yeah. Well, I've often thought that listening to this show that I'm too quick. I'm speaking too quickly sometimes. And so
maybe this will work better than if I'm too slow and you're too quick.
Well, what's cool is it's going to at least give us the contrast because, like, you know, this energy level, maybe I'm talking a bit slower. Maybe I'm not. But I'll get to hear it and see. That's kind of cool. We're trying to learn. It's early stages in this sort of thing, so there's a lot still to learn.
Is it depressing to talk about depression?
We've talked about this before. I love how
it depressed the shit out of you.
Yeah, I love how I spoke really quickly when I said that. I've already been too.
We spoke about this before, and I regretted it instantly.
No, I think there's an interesting way to speak about it. I think if we just came on the radio and said that I'm sad that would be one thing, but if it's in the way that other people can relate to that thing, as we've discussed before, I've not been the kind of person who's dealt much with depression. And it's one of the dichotomies of mine and Jeff's long-lasting friendship, is that I'm just like a happy guy. And that can be annoying. That can be annoying to be around like a happy dude all the time, especially if you have some struggles with depression and that sort of thing.
Is it?
So I think
has it been annoying
I
to
think
people?
That's interesting.
Do you know that it's annoyed people?
Well, I don't know for sure, but I know in a few times in my life when I've been a little bit down that people being like really, really positive can be bothersome because sometimes you just want to sit in it, right? But I don't have a whole lot of experience with that, and I worry about that when I'm around friends and I have an instinct to give them pep talks and try to encourage them, and at the same time, most of my friends are very intelligent people, so I don't feel like I can give them an angle that they haven't necessarily thought of themselves. And so then it just becomes maybe emptiness on top of the positivity. And I say that to you quite a bit, actually, when we're talking. I'll say things like, I don't mean to sound too positive, right? Like I can somehow preface the situation to make it better. And I know that's just an insecurity on my part where I just want to make sure that what I'm saying is still legitimate. I'm still trying to be intelligent. Don't be fooled by the fact that I sound like I'm in a friggin', you know, Walt Disney cartoon or something. I can't help myself.
Right. Folks, if you're just joining us, no, it's not too depressing to talk about depression. You just got to put on the sound of the rain to contextualize it.
This is another great example. I love the sound of rain. I love
it
storms.
It's, well, it's relaxing.
Yeah, the number one thing when I need like white noise in my ears or something's, you know, loud or I want to escape, I play the storm track. Not just not comforting rain. I play the thunderstorm track.
That's what I would play if I had a party and I was worried that people weren't having a good
time. In the background?
Yeah, I wouldn't play the sound of other people. I play the sound of a thunderstorm.
Yeah. And I'd hand out torches that people could carry if they wanted to.
But by torches, you just mean a flashlight, but that's what the British would say.
Yeah, I only have British parties. Yeah. Yeah. Governor.
Governor.
Yeah, no, depression's a real thing, man. I can speak a little bit about the one time I had depression.
Sure.
Which is only notable because of how rarely it's happened. But it was. I was writing a screenplay for a friend of mine, a friend who will not be named. You know who you are. And he had an idea for a screenplay, and I was writing it for him. And he was a fan of screenplay gurus. I think we've talked about that a little bit. People that profess to be experts at how to write a successful screenplay. So the way they do this is to often have a very structured way of plotting. So in the first act, this has to happen, and then the character has to do this, and then there has to be an action beat every certain amount of pages. And there's different theories on how this works, but there's a lot of different gurus out there who, as I said, profess to know the right one. And it's just not really my style. I'm more of a Stephen King-style writer where I create a character, and then the character sort of tells me what's going to happen. And so for this particular project, because I was collaborating with someone, I allowed them to dictate how I was going to write it. And I guess a lot of people out there who have had artistic pursuits can probably relate to when you have an instinct to do something one way, trying it another way can be a real great way to get some perspective, and it can be a great way to create a product that's different, but it can also backfire and make you feel very, very terrible. And so because I'd come out of my comfort zone and I was doing something completely different, I had about 2 weeks, and it took me about a week of those 2 weeks to realize what was going on. But I started to feel like I couldn't enjoy the things I would normally enjoy, which I heard afterwards is quite a sign of depression. It's a really common one, is when the things you like, you don't want to do. So if you love pizza, you're like, I don't want to eat pizza. Who cares about pizza? So I had a couple of weeks where like nothing was fun. And it was really, really great for me because it gave me this perspective on the people in my life who've had to struggle with this. And that's most people have these downs. And like I said, I would never profess to have too much depression because I can't really say what it's like. I would never think, just like a racial issue, I can't say what it's like to grow up as a different race, as a minority, as a woman. I can sympathize. I can't really empathize. I can't feel what that's like. But it gave me a little perspective, which I think has been really helpful over the years, and maybe why I preface things like, I don't mean to be so too positive. That's what
I don't mean to rub it in.
Yeah.
But I have a optimistic perspective on something.
Your perspective is very terrible.
I know statistically that there's, you know, probably a high instance of depression in this room right now as I speak to you all. But let me just turn on the sound of crowd noise on the stereo. Let me put on my shirt. Feel free to bulk up, by the way. And let me tell you all.
Show you my feet.
Show you my feet. Show you the door. Yeah. Everything just slows down. Everything becomes quite sluggish in the mind. Yeah.
I don't think it necessarily appears that way, though. That's another thing we've discussed, is that people can feel down and still function very well. There, again, I think of jobs. There's a lot of people out there, and I feel bad for them. But they go to a job every day, and they don't like it, and they... like miraculously, it's one of the most impressive things I can think of, is going to your job that you dislike and performing it well, not being a curmudgeon at that job, just somehow managing to get through that. I'm very lucky that I don't have to know. I don't think I could. I really don't think that I could do that. And I just don't even know what that formula is to create a world around you where you can... I wouldn't say fake it. I don't necessarily think people are having to fake it. But to get through that, I think it takes a lot of experience, probably. Maybe that's why I feel like I would never be able to do that. I know my wife in particular is amazing. She suffers from some depression.
How come she's not calling in? She's such a big listener. Well, Nancy, we know you're listening.
It's funny.
And we know that you're the only person listening. You want to prove that you're listening, Nancy, you need to call the following number. I don't know if you need to write it down or just dial it, but you're going to call this number. We're not going to necessarily talk. I just want you to make the board ring. Okay, it's 604-822-2487. For the love of God, Nancy, dial the number. Prove to me that you're listening. Mm-hmm. It will be hilarious, and then we can move on with the show.
It's funny because she always listens live, but she was...
And it's ringing.
Oh, wow. It worked.
So now do I talk to her? No, that's not fair.
I don't know.
Folks,
if
it
it's
worked.
Fair.
We should.
No, we should answer.
No, because I said I wouldn't. Should I?
I think we should. Because you can just hang up. You can
hello,
hang up
you're on
you
the air. Who's there? Nancy, are you there? Oh, it is you. Nancy, thanks for calling.
You actually wanted someone to call in or not.
Well, and I didn't know whether to answer because I know that I think I implied that we wouldn't answer because I didn't mm-hmm. want to intimidate
but
you.
But it was a trap.
But Keith insisted that I answer, so thank you so much mm-hmm. because I don't know, have you been listening to the whole show or just the recent part?
I have also been downing a quite large chocolate milkshake from McDonald's.
Oh, that sounds good.
That's how she deals.
I feel like a cement brick right now.
Oh.
I haven't had one of those in a while, but yet for me that's my comfort. I think getting through depression is a lot of fast food.
Yeah.
Copious amounts.
What'd you say, hon?
A lot of treats, a lot of like, yeah. I need a biscuit.
Well,
I need a
yeah. Well, that's one of the ways that's one of the ways that I cope with it when you're down, hon, is I get you things. It's because I feel like it's one of the only things I can control. When someone's really down and you're a very smart person and I can't intellectualize you out of it, so I think a Sunday will do something. At least I can feel like I'm doing something.
And can I just say before we continue that this actress that we've hired to sound like Keith's wife,
she's amazing,
is very good. And everybody that knows the show knows the budget is very low for the show.
Yeah.
I thought $500 was a bit much to pay this particular actress, but we're getting every cent.
We had a fist fight over it, in fact.
We did have a fist fight. It was worth it because, my God, she sounds like Nancy.
Yeah.
So, quote unquote.
And she looks an awful lot like an update.
She looks like an update?
She looks like an update.
We got to...
Rory's in cahoots.
Rory's in cahoots.
I love that the universe, if you will, of the show is expanded to include some characters that people are aware of.
Yeah.
Nancy's aware of.
Nancy knows who Rory Updike mm-hmm. is.
What did you hear about this guy Lickety Spritz?
I did. Yeah. He's not as popular as Updike, but I am aware of him.
Yeah, let's, in case, should I play those things from last week? Or maybe we'll save it for another time. But last week we were playing these two clips. Lickety Spritz he sounded like he was running for office, but I think he's just running for bragging rights or something. And he's opposed by Rory Updike. But I'm glad. So you're an Updike fan?
I am, yeah. I think he deserves more work.
Yeah, well, yeah, he hasn't had any yet. I think a few weeks ago we said he'd just been an actor for a couple of weeks, so now it's probably coming up on a couple months, but yeah, he's been struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of depression, maybe he's depressed.
Yeah, do you get that sense, Nancy, that maybe those guys are depressed or overcompensating for something?
It could be, or maybe he's just a bad actor.
Oh,
that could be it.
And my wife throws down the gauntlet.
It could be it. That could be that simple.
I think you might have killed any opportunity of him sponsoring any time on the show from now on.
Well, he sort of has to prove himself.
Oh, my wife is a harsh mistress. Well, you should watch it, though, because I'm not, you know, that's how I'm bringing home the bacon.
Yeah, I know.
Well, this is good. We're hanging out.
Bad enough your sponsors.
We're hanging out with the sound of the rain, mm-hmm. talking to Nancy. Things are looking up. So, Nancy, you heard the show, so you've heard that I've disclosed that I'm feeling curmudgeonly. I'm feeling, I don't know how much we talked about it, but I sort of implied that depression is rearing its head, and it's just been difficult for me to function in the show this week as I have in the past. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's the truth, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think of that, hon?
Well, I can understand how having a commitment can really, really bring you down when you don't really want to do anything or talk to anyone. But at the same time, having a stable something to do on a regular basis, it's good to fall back on it. It gives you stability and it just sort of makes you feel normal.
Yeah,
that's true enough.
That is true.
It's true enough. It was a bit of a shock to the system initially coming into the studio when there was that pungent odor of four young men, and that's cleared.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, would you think we were too hard on the young men?
Just imagine a room with no windows, no vent. I mean, this is all by design, right? There's no ventilation, mm-hmm. There's no windows that open, there's no fan by design for sound purposes. The door is sealed shut.
Yeah.
And you've got four young men. I don't know what they were. Seemed like they were having a good time in here. They're chatting. Mm-hmm. They're probably sweating.
Yeah.
They're probably sweating. They're excited. They're young. They're sweating. That's what they do.
Yeah.
And I think they were in here for at least an hour.
Yes, they were.
And that actually kind of pulled me out of my head because my nose was activated. And that helped,
you
I think.
You were too preoccupied by not wanting to pass out.
Yeah, that kind of gave us a little bit of a focus for the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
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 Well, it's like I went to the dump today to drop those old mattresses off, and when I came back from the dump, I smelled like the dump. Remember, honey?
You smelled like the dump and a dump.
I was still going to make the same joke. That's why I love you. Can I just take a second here to tell my wife how much I love her?
Please. Folks, if you're just tuning in, this is Keith Kennedy on Now We're Talking, hosted by Jeff Bryant. That's me here on CITR 101.9, and Keith Kennedy is now talking to his wife, Nancy, on the phone, and he's going to tell her that he loves her.
Yeah,
Keith, go ahead.
People get tired of hearing this, but when I see my wife, after all the years I've been with her, when I see her, I get excited. Sometimes when I know she's coming home, I go outside my house like a dog waiting for its master, and I wag my tail waiting for her to come home. And when you called in and answered the phone, I heard your voice, I just lit up. I love you to pieces, babe.
Well, you're easy to please, I think.
That is also true.
It's true. You say that about a lot of people when they come in. Like,
that's true.
That whole speech
that
you
whole
just
speech
gave.
I've used before. Those four guys who smelled when they went out, I was like, guys, I love your smell.
Yeah.
Every time I see you guys, every time I smell you, I just light up.
Almost verbatim. Here, let's try that again, but I'm going to give you a little bit of music this time, Keith.
Oh. There's still rain. Is that okay?
Pull the rain.
Now we're in a movie. Nancy.
Sounds like a swarm of bees.
A swarm of bees?
What? I don't feel safe at all.
This is our segment on colony collapse.
No,
disorder.
This is the part. Keith is going to tell the story of when he first knew that he was in love with Nancy, and he was under the misapprehension that she was Arabic.
Okay. Can I actually tell the story of when I knew I loved
Nancy?
You
guys met in the Middle East, right? Tell the real story, but pretend it's in the Middle East, because I feel like that works with the music a bit better.
You're going to let me tell the story?
Please.
I love the story. I used to work at a video store in the Middle East.
Perfect.
Great. Nailed it. And I was working the night shift, the graveyard shift, as they call it. And Nancy was the person who came to relieve me in the morning. And, man, that music's loud.
I was expecting a joke there when you said I came to relieve you.
Oh, boy. So she came in, and she walked around the counter. There was sort of a dais at this store where we were behind the counter. She came up and had a bag, put her bag down, and stood beside me. And we sort of started the small talk, and I found her attractive immediately, and I thought, I'll ask her a question. And then I asked her what I consider to be a very stupid question, which was, so what kind of movies do you like? Right?
In that exact voice.
Yeah. And she said, horror movies. And my heart fluttered a little. Oh, is that applause?
This is the first, people are applauding the first portion of the...
Right,
sorry.
Because my heart fluttered. Thank you, everyone. Yeah. And my heart fluttered a little bit because I also love horror movies. And if you're the kind of person who says horror movies first, you're my kind of person. You can say, well, look, I just like a lot of different kinds of movies. I watch a lot. But if you really say horror movies, okay. And then, so I asked another very stupid question of her, which was, what's your favorite horror movie? And she said, The Lost Boys. And this was also a favorite of mine. And then I said, do you own the soundtrack? And she said, yes. And I left the video store, and I called my mom. And I said, Mom, I met someone. And that's the true story of how we met. Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Yeah. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
In the Middle East.
It was in the Middle. I didn't even realize that they had video stores in the Middle East.
Yeah.
But that was a different time.
It was a different time.
That was years ago.
VCRs were made of...
Sand.
Stone, yeah.
And stereotypes.
And stereotypes.
Yeah. Sand and stereotypes.
And religious.
Just mix it together.
Religious oppression and confusion.
It all fits. Yeah. Well, Nancy, thanks for calling in. I know that, did you think that I was deceiving you and I was, like a bait and switch? I'll get her to light up the board. And did you feel like I fooled you into being on the show, or were you okay with being on the show? Or what happened there?
I don't know. I was really on the fence the last time you gave out the phone number. I'm like, okay, if you set the phone number again, then I'll call.
Nice. Because I felt like I was saying it a lot, but I thought, no, I'm going to really be clear. Because I know there's been times when I've heard, call into a radio station, they give the number for a prize or something. Like, if they just said it one more time, then I'd actually have time to write it down.
Again.
I said it many times, but it was the right amount of times.
Yeah.
It was the correct amount of time.
That's good, hon. You're doing real good on the radio.
It also brought back a memory from childhood when I was living with my parents, and there was some stupid radio contest, and they said, be caller number whatever. And then as a joke, the announcer just said, or you can just call and we'll chat. So me being like the stupid, impressionable child, I'm like, I'm going to call and we're going to talk online. So I totally put this guy in an awkward position because I didn't win the contest, but I was like, I just wanted to call and chat.
Was it on the air?
It was on the air, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So this is not a virginal experience.
I'd never heard that story before. Did you just save a story just for one day if maybe you were on my radio show?
I have a story for every situation.
That's why I love you. Well, there's other reasons I love you that we can't get into, but...
Nancy should be a more regular caller on the show.
Well, she's killing it, yeah.
She's doing a good job.
Nancy's got a little performer in her. She's rather unassuming at times, but she used to like acting, and her comedic timing is, in the Middle East!
Boo!
Did I just get booed?
I love if somebody just tuned in and they heard you referencing the Middle East and then a caller booing. What's going on there?
Did you boo or did you moo?
It was moo.
Comedic timing, so it was moo. It was the interrupting cow.
Oh, right. One of my favorite jokes before it was popular.
We swear it was a cow and it wasn't nothing against the Middle East. We know what we heard.
You
were booing the Middle East.
You were mooing at the Middle East because they love cows so much.
Nancy, we're going to wrap up the show soon, so thanks for calling, and we'll talk to you next time, but thanks again.
Yeah, see you home, hon.
Okay,
bye-bye. All right. That was Nancy McLean, or is it Nancy Kennedy?
No, it's Nancy McLean.
Because it's too annoying to change the names, or how does that work?
It was mostly that, and it was a feeling that I had that I wanted her to keep her name because I really liked her name.
This is a good name.
Yeah, and
it
also
makes me think of Lieutenant John McClane.
Yeah, and also I'm a Taylor by birth.
That's true.
Kennedy is my my adopted name.
That's true enough. Just turned off the rain there.
Yeah.
It was kind of settling into a given.
I was getting used to it, yeah.
It's interesting to take it away, and now it feels so vacant.
It's just us. I feel naked. Vacant and naked.
Keith, you are naked.
Oh, right.
You've been naked this whole time.
Yeah. It's funny how I started with wearing suits, and now I just come in and, take my muumuu off and sit down.
Yeah, it started with such formality, and that's totally fallen by the wayside.
It's kind of rude, too, that I sit in this chair like this.
I don't mind. I'm just glad you put down that towel. Folks, if you're just tuning in, it's 101.9 CITR, 101.9 FM, that is. I'm Jeff, along with Keith. We're almost done the show for this week. We do the show every Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m., and we thank you for tuning in. And Keith, what else? You've just got a couple minutes more. Do you want to let's just check in on your diet? What's happening for you food wise?
That's funny that we just both had the same thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
let me know what's going on there.
Something I wanted to talk about. You might have to cut me short because it's been encompassing my life entirely. I got diagnosed with IBS.
All right.
Irritable bowel syndrome, which is kind of a catch all term, but it kind of means.
It's pervasive.
Yeah. A lot of people, I think it's one in six people are diagnosed with it now. And. Just a guy walk by the studio and look in because we're...
Did he give you the thumbs up?
No, he just gave me a look because I'm talking about my IBS on the radio. Nice work, buddy. Way to make me feel self-conscious.
Well, at least you're talking about yours. Better than talking about somebody else's.
Anyway, yeah, so they put you on this restrictive diet. It's called FODMAP, is fermentable carbohydrates. So stuff that gets in your body has trouble handling or stays there too long. So it's FODMAP means fermentable oligosaccharide, disaccharide, monosaccharide, and polyols, which is alcohol sugars. And so, I got to go for a couple of months and not eat any of that stuff to try to calm my system down. And then you sort of reintroduce things to see what really bothered you. And it's been really hard for me because I've never, ever had any restrictions like this
before. So what have you been eating?
It's hard to get into that because I can eat a lot. And that's one of the ways that you deal with this is you look at the positive. You think, this is what I can eat, not what I can't. But like I said, it's all these different carbohydrates, different compounds. And so it's really hard to explain what you can and can't eat. The clear ones are wheat. I'm off wheat. I'm off lactose. No onions and garlic. Those are really big triggers for these sort of symptoms. Symptoms, by the way, bloating, pain. Let's not forget diarrhea, constipation.
This has been a very interesting
just
episode.
All of this great stuff.
Yeah.
Why I think this was an appropriate theme for this episode tonight, because it's something that I've been struggling with.
Oh, we talked about vulnerability, right?
Yeah, I've been struggling with this, and it's really encompassing. I'm trying to learn about it. The science is still sort of coming in on this condition and whether or not the low FODMAP diet can help people. And so it's kind of like being gluten-free with some other stuff added on, but also some other stuff that you can eat that you wouldn't be able to.
If you want to talk about vulnerability, you can talk about depression, and good for you. Mm-hmm. You know, you're vulnerable, you're talking about a mental health concern, that's fine. But if you really want to dig deep, talk about IBS.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how we wrapped up the show this week. Anything we want to say as we talk about what we learned this week, Keith?
I don't know, man. I think I'm glad we did what we did. I'm glad that we sort of free-formed it and talked about some of these things. My perspective on this has always been that it's so hard to not be able to help, to not be able to figure out the solution. But I can only imagine for people who do get depressed how hard it is for them to try to work through those solutions. So I sympathize with that, and I think that everyone who has that should reach out as much as possible. Don't be afraid to talk about these things, man. We're talking about them on the radio, laying ourselves bare. Everybody do that. Just get the help you need.
You heard it here, folks. This has been Now We're Talking. I'm Jeff with Keith. We'll see you next week.